There is a call for a new law in California, the Stephon Clark Law, that would put law enforcement in front of a grand jury when a citizen is killed. Today is the one-year anniversary of Stephon Clark's death in Meadowview. On Insight Special Coverage, that proposal and Cap Radio's Nick Miller taking us through the plans today. There's a public memorial and a Black Lives Matter march this evening. 10 years ago, the police shooting of Oscar Grant put Oakland, California in the midst of grief and protest and ultimately change. Oscar Grant was a 22-year-old unarmed Black man shot while lying face down at the Fruitvale BART station. The officer who shot him was convicted of involuntary manslaughter. I'll talk with Oakland columnist and podcast host Pendarvis Harshaw about the comparisons. At 9:30, we'll join the Takeaway in Progress. I'm Beth Ruriak. Insight special coverage is coming up next. From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight Special Coverage. I'm Beth Ruriak. 1 year ago, on March 18, 2018, Sacramento police responded to a 911 call about a man breaking car windows in a South Sacramento neighborhood called Meadowview. What happened next became an important part of an evolving historical narrative. There was a chase, there was a confrontation, and two Sacramento City police officers, Terrence Mercadal and Jared Robinette, shot and killed Stephon Clark. They believed that he had a gun. They didn't know this was the backyard of Clark's grandmother. They didn't know that ultimately what they thought was a gun would prove to be a cell phone. No county or state-level criminal charges are going to be filed against the officers. The shooting, though, has sparked protests and change over the past year. And today, there will be a call for a new Stephon Clark law. Cap Radio editor Nick Miller's in the studio with me to talk now about this anniversary and the events that actually began on Friday. Hi, Nick. If you could start by characterizing what this time of remembrance has been since Friday, the events that have been happening over the weekend leading up to today.
Sure. It's my observation that it's a time of looking forward. The family celebrated the memory of Stephon Clark this past weekend with several events, and they're looking forward to what will my son, my brother, my cousin's legacy be in this community, in this country. When people hear the name Stephon Clark 10 years from now, what will that mean? The Reverend Al Sharpton is returning to Sacramento today. He's going to speak in front of the Capitol. He's going to deliver the keynote address at the remembrance ceremony. And he's proposing some new policy. So he's looking forward as to how Stephon Clark is going to impact the laws that govern when our police officers use lethal and deadly force. And then the activists in the community are looking forward as well. They're looking forward at that law. They're looking forward at the police department, which any day now is going to deliver a report on whether the two officers who fatally shot Clark will stay on the force or will lose their jobs. So I think today people are pausing. There's going to be a vigil tonight in the neighborhood of Meadowview, just blocks from the home where he was shot. So there is this remembrance, but there's also this anticipation and this looking forward.
The new Stephon Clark law, we don't know a lot about it, but what we do know is that it would be a call for any officer involved in the killing of a citizen to appear before a grand jury. Any law needs a co-author to move through the pipeline. Where are we on the possibility of this becoming law?
We're trying to learn as much as we can. So we just learned of this proposal by Reverend Al Sharpton, various civil rights leaders, the attorney Benjamin Crump, who represents the Clark family. They're going to convene at the Capitol on the North Steps this morning, and they're going to propose this idea that if an officer or a law enforcement officer is involved in a shooting, a fatal use of force incident, that they would have to appear before a grand jury where they would, you know, face some sort of scrutiny and questioning. But it's unclear to us whether a lawmaker at the Capitol, not only would they adopt that sort of policy, take it on as a bill, but can it get through committees? Can it get through all the mechanisms of government and actually become something that is an enforceable law in this state? So it's really at the nascent phase.
Use of force is being debated by lawmakers at the state level right now. There was already the passage of an open records law that has taken effect. Let's go to the city of Sacramento and the Sacramento Police Department. There are new rules for journalists in protests. And is the city or the police department also talking with the community about more proposed changes?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
So there's been significant developments as it relates to the city of Sacramento Police Department and how their officers do their jobs and the changes that have occurred in the past year. We know now that if there is a pursuit of a suspect, that officers are, instead of running into a backyard or down an alleyway, they're supposed to stand back, create a perimeter, and wait for instruction. There's new rules and guidelines for how they can use their body cameras. There's new rules for at a protest how they will issue a dispersal order if there is an unlawful assembly, and specifically how they will inform journalists who are covering that protest whether they can continue covering it. And that's a conversation that is ongoing. But right now what the department wants to do is essentially there will be a dispersal order saying, demonstrators, this is an unlawful assembly. You must disperse. Also, any journalists working this, covering this protest, need to come and check in with a supervisor, make yourself known. So in case there is are arrests made, that you won't be taken in with the demonstrators.
So let's focus on what's happening today. We already outlined the press conference, which begins this morning on the west steps of the Capitol at
approximately 11 a.m.
All right. And then we move into a phase of the public memorial.
Correct. There'll be a memorial at the Genesis Church, which literally is adjacent to the Clark family home, the grandmother's home. And that will be a 4-hour event. There'll be several speakers, family members. Reverend Al Sharpton, as I mentioned, will deliver the keynote. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, there's going to be a vigil and a, quote, take the streets event that's put on by several activist groups, Black Lives Matter, the local chapter. And that's interesting because it's the same location where there was the day after the shooting last year, a vigil. And that was sort of the first time the activists gathered. Family members were there, and they sort of talked about what happened. What do we know about the Stephon Clark shooting? And that really sparked what became a national movement.
Stephon Clark's brother, Stevante, has been visible and vocal, but also trying to lead the conversation and focus toward unity during this time.
He has. So a lot of people remember Stevante because he grieved very publicly last year.
And painfully.
And painfully, yes. You know, he was arrested at one point in North Sacramento. He disrupted a council meeting, and sort of the reputation was that he was, you know, just struggling with mental health issues. Now he's become a leader. He's being nominated to city commissions that are going to oversee how we spend tax dollars. And he's become an ambassador for the Meadowview community and for some of these social justice issues. And yeah, he's at the front of this conversation.
Well, the day begins, as we said, in just a little bit, and we'll cover these events as they unfold on capradio.org and again here tomorrow morning at 9. Nick, I want to thank you for joining us this morning to talk about the day and, of course, the day in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That is Cap Radio Senior Editor of News, Nick Miller. 1 year ago, of course, it was impossible to know how the Stephon Clark case would impact South Sacramento or the capital city or California or the country for that matter. But we can look westward to Oakland. And there, the officer-involved killing of Oscar Grant continues to give us perspective and it drives change. Oscar Grant was killed 10 years ago on New Year's Eve at the Fruitvale BART station. And on the phone with us right now is Pendarvis Harshaw. He is the host of Right Nowish on KQED. He's a columnist at KQED Arts. He was a college student when Oscar Grant was killed. And, Penn, I think it's really important that you join us today. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having me.
So Oscar Grant was 22 years old, an unarmed black man. So was Stephon Clark. But 10 years ago was a much different time. So would you set the scene and give us context for how much different?
Well, yeah. 10 years ago, I think the biggest news was that the inauguration of the first African-American president, Barack Obama, was set to happen. And just days before that, in my hometown, Oakland, California, Oscar Grant was killed by a BART officer on New Year's morning. And so it really changed my perspective of 2009. And the cell phone footage that was shot then was the first in a long series of police brutality, police homicide-related instances that were documented on cell phone. And so, yeah, it definitely not only changed the tone of 2009, but every year since then.
It's probably difficult to imagine that that was a pre-Black Lives Matter protest time, because protest is such a common part of the atmosphere of these tragedies across our country. Would you describe the organic nature in which the city reacted and grew, kind of moved almost immediately into protest?
Yeah, I would definitely credit protest that definitely date back before Oscar Grant as informing people how to react to this issue. So, you know, it's well documented that here in Oakland, you have the Black Panther Party, or even down in Los Angeles, where you see instances of riots and uprisings and protests of police brutality. So that set the tone for what took place here in 2009, when the people came together, and it was largely the religious community, the church, and people who were activists already in the community coming together and taking to the streets and saying, hey, something needs to be done. These officers with blood on their hands need to be held accountable for their actions.
So the family is leading an effort now, Penn, and you've been part of a project as well titled Dear Oscar Grant. What's happening 10 years later in keeping this story vivid and in front of people who might be either new to the area or even too young to know or remember it?
Yeah, it's the project that we did with KQED this past January, where we asked the community to send letters or notes to, if they could talk to Oscar Grant, what would they say? And you got a mix of people. It was awesome to see young people. I went to a high school that's actually in the Fruitvale District in East Oakland, and I asked some of the teenagers to weigh in on what Oscar Grant means to them. And that was interesting, given that they were, you know, elementary school age when that shooting occurred. Although there was a film, Fruitvale Station, that came out some years later, and I'm sure they at least were aware of it if they hadn't seen it. But these teenagers had so much to offer and so much to say about something that I didn't know if they would be informed about or not. And so the project exists through KQED.org. You can find that. And it was really relieving to see people really offer a piece of their heart publicly.
And the family wants Fruitvale Station renamed, right?
Yeah, well, so recently here in Oakland, we've had legislation passed to have a street near Fruitvale Station named in Oscar Grant's honor. There's actually being a mural painted right now by an artist by the name Reefa One on the side of Fruitvale Station in dedication to Oscar Grant as well.
I'm talking with Pendarvis Harshaw. He's the host of Right Nowish on KQED and a columnist at KQED Arts. Pen, you wrote an open letter to Oscar Grant talking about his death and the mark that it left on people individually and the subject of racial justice in the Bay Area. You've also written, and I'm going to quote here, "Over the past 10 years, I've become burnout on the topic of police killing people of color in America, particularly African-American men. Burnout, not just because of my professional involvement, but because I've personally had to consume so many stories." Will you expand on that, what the burnout is for you internally?
Yeah. You know, it's a matter of seeing it time and time again and becoming numb to it. And I don't think I'm the only one. This is something that I've seen both in social media and through conversations with people just in the community, where you understand that it needs to be shown, it needs to be highlighted, people need to be held accountable. We have the technology to kind of bring forth evidence that this is occurring at the rate at which it's occurring. And it's just a lot. It is. You know, it's first thing Monday morning and we're talking about this. It's a lot to take on. And it doesn't help the case knowing that I'm reporting on it. And also, you know, as a Black man in America, I could be subject to it as well.
I agree with you from responses from listeners that there is a burnout, which is not to say, Penn, that people don't want to hear the story. I think sometimes the burnout speaks to a hopelessness or a helplessness or a frustration that there isn't a change in the trend. Do you think I'm right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like I'm not going to keep reporting on it, but it tugs at your gut. It really makes you look at yourself and say, man, like, is this even working? Is anything even changing? Like you said, 10 years ago, this is the effort we were putting forth. And just, what was that, 2 weeks ago, I was writing about Adrian Burrell and Vallejo, a young man who filmed an officer accosting his cousin, and then Adrian was tackled. And I was just imagining, like, Adrian had such heart to take out his cell phone in Vallejo, where just, you know, around that same time, Willie McCoy, another guy, was killed in his sleep. And so it's like, you can't not write about it. And at the same time, you have to realize that it takes its toll. And as we talk about mental health and self-sustainability, every now and then you have to just take a moment to breathe and appreciate life and don't let it stress you out too much.
Oscar Grant's death has inspired some change. In particular, the art community has been profound in the movements that it's leaded. Can you characterize some of the change that you could directly correlate to the Oscar Grant tragedy?
Yeah. A colleague of mine at KQED, Nastia, she wrote a brilliant piece about the growth and kind of trajectory of some artists who became maybe not initially politicized during the Oscar Grant happening, but definitely became more politicized through everything that occurred with that. And so you've seen artists who are musicians, artists who are poets, thespians, you name it. And so I could go from Ryan Coogler's input on Fluvial Station, as I mentioned earlier, or Shanaka Hodge, who's a poet and playwright who's done pieces about Oscar Grant. There's an artist by the name of Young Gully who did a lot of hip-hop, Mr. Fab. Mm. You just see these names, and it's not like they exactly got their start at Oscar Grant, but it definitely spoke to them in their growth. And so you chart their growth over that 10 years, and you see that, yeah, it definitely pushed them.
So 10 years later, Penn, what's happened to the wounds?
That's a good question. What has happened to the wounds? I think they've been healed and reopened constantly, as I said. Yeah, constantly seeing all, like, more renditions of the same thing. I would argue that those wounds, like, as they start to heal, they get reopened constantly.
If you could write a letter to Stephon Clark the way you wrote a letter to Oscar Grant, of course, it's 10 years apart, but have you thought about the words that you would use to Stephon?
Yeah, I was reflecting on the Oscar Grant note and the words "casualty of an American war." That still rings true. It's, yeah, just another instance of that.
We sometimes use the phrase "community response," and more, I feel that phrase is inappropriate or less encompassing than it should be, and that we need to be more specific, because there's the activist response, there's the family response, there's the what we might call institutional response. Can you give me a bit of the spectrum of what the response was there, what you've seen in common with what's been happening here?
I think the most common thing is that it's people holding publicly elected officials accountable. It's the people who are going to the streets and that are going to City Hall and applying pressure and saying, hey, this is not what we want our tax dollars spent on. So that's a common thread, not only between here in Oakland and Sacramento, but across the nation, where if any change is going to occur, it's going to be on behalf of the people holding those in power accountable.
There is legislation. We were talking about it at the state level, Penn, and some changes in city law. What do you think might come out of, I could say specifically the Stephon Clark case, but let's talk about overall the bigger debate in California. Might we move forward in significant ways?
That's the hope, to move forward in significant ways. But you see, just passing a law doesn't necessarily mean that it's enacted on all parts, as you've seen with the police transparency bill that was supposed to be implemented at the start of this year. And you see police unions fighting against it. And so just because a law is on the books doesn't mean that it actualizes.
On January 1st, the day of the anniversary, you wrote an article titled Oscar Grant and the Scarcity of Hope. And you ask yourself, am I a pessimist? You say, no, I'm an African-American man from Oakland who could have easily been Oscar Grant. And I know the underlying theme to this narrative. I'm going to ask you that question again and ask you to be more specific, engaging where you are as you look forward. Are you a pessimist still? And how much so?
Oh, I believe that I'm a realist. And with being a realist, there's a tad of pessimism because you know how real life is. And you can only dream so big knowing that this reality still holds you down. And I don't think there's any room for any blind optimism. Not at all. So I don't think I'm a wholehearted pessimist, like, oh, the end is near. But I definitely think I'm a realist, held down by tugs of pessimism from now and then.
Mm-hmm. One more question, Penn. I said at the beginning that you were a college student. I think you were 21 years old at the time of Oscar Grant's death. So who have you become now because of this history and the way it interfaced with your life?
Oscar Grant's death happened when I was in college and when I was still developing my perspective on the nation. And, you know, like I said, you had this great story of the first black president happening, but I knew that just, you know, and he even, President Barack Obama, ran on the hope of change. And I just didn't see that change, and it was very evident in my face. And so since then, that story of Oscar Grant and kind of like being grounded in reality, as I said a minute ago, it's really helped me to understand the role of being a journalist in this community. When I see Oscar Grant's family at the My Brother's Keeper initiative just a few weeks ago, where President Barack Obama was speaking in Oakland, and I said, you know, this isn't lofty, this isn't dreamlike, this is, you know, this is just really people showing up and being a part of being proactive and making sure that their feelings are felt, make sure that their story is heard, making sure that the world knows about what happened to this to their family member. Before President Barack Obama spoke, there was three mothers sitting on the stage talking about losing their sons to violence. Trayvon Martin's mother and Oscar Grant's mother and one other mother, she slips my mind this early morning. But seeing that really grounds me and like, no, this isn't something that just happens on the news. I know Oscar Grant's family now. Over 10 years, we've developed a relationship. And so when you start to wrap your hands around it, it makes it seem like, oh, okay, this is something that you could actually deal with. Again, not being overly optimistic, but just grounded in reality.
All right, Penn, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope you have a great day.
You too. That's Penn Darvis-Harshaw, the host of Right Now-ish on KQED. We've posted links to some of his recent columns, and you can find more details about today's one-year anniversary of the Stephon Clark shooting at capradio.org. Tomorrow at this time, we'll bring you coverage of the events, and now we're going to return you to The Takeaway. I'm Beth Ruyak. This was Insight Special Coverage on Cap Radio.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.